Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jules here for What Culture Gaming, joined as ever by the lovable energy source that keeps me going all night long,
that
Josh Brown.
So kind. Thank you, Jules.
Well, we've been through a lot together, you and I,
because
yesterday, we got sent down to a rather secretive event in London that was put on by Obsidian because we got a chance to play The Outer Worlds. Yes, that's right, Obsidian and Private Division's newest game that is coming out to challenge the crown of Fallout and other sci-fi japery RPGs. Let's just use that as a genre.
Lovely, that's the genre now.
We got to play that. We got 2 hours of gameplay on footage that we were told is not going to be shown anywhere else until the game's release. And outside of a 45-minute section that we can't talk about with you guys because it involves the opening of the game and the character customization suite, which they understandably want to keep under wraps, we got to grips with a lot of what the game is about, did a lot of quests, and thankfully, in our short time with the game, we actually managed to get completely different experiences from it.
Which was so good. It was such a confident showing, I think, because they essentially just put us on a preloaded save and said, do whatever you want on this planet, which was awesome. Yep. So we made it a point to go in completely opposite directions and see what we could find, and we managed to get completely different experiences, did different quests, had different styles of play. And it was, I really loved it.
Yeah,
I really
me too.
Loved it.
I feel like if you're looking at this as a sort of first impressions video, then there is one impression that I was left with, and that is basically, if you are looking for Fallout New Vegas in space, this game will deliver everything you need and more, which is just so relieving because starting a new IP for a company is scary work.
Yeah.
Trying to follow on suit from like the pressure that's been built up by the likes of Fallout and working on stuff like Fallout New Vegas, which is obviously Obsidian's other thing that they tackled. There's a lot of expectations, and luckily I feel that this game delivers on that.
Absolutely, even more so than I even anticipated, because ever since it was announced, everyone was saying, you know, it's by the creators of the original Fallout, it's by the guys who did New Vegas. Everyone was expecting them to fill a gap left behind by Bethesda after they dropped Fallout 4, which I really enjoyed, but was more divisive and went down a more sort of standard mainstream action route. Mm-hmm. And of course, after Fallout 76, I didn't expect this to be so entrenched in that kind of play as it was, because it has everything. It has even the dialogue options are straight out of the classic Fallout 3 Fallout 3 New Vegas style, where you're a mute protagonist and you just have like a selection of great choices to pick from.
I was going to say that actually works for the game's betterment, I feel, because Fallout 4 was a fine action game, like you say, but I do feel that there was a lot of character that was lost by having your actual character be voiced, because it meant that when you were saying stuff, most of the time their actual responses would never actually match up directly to what you were saying.
Yeah.
So if it had, for example, say like, oh, buzz off or something like that, the guy would just be like, get out a shotgun and shoot you in the face. Like, no, that's not exactly the tone I was trying
to
hit.
No, it was a weird paradox, wasn't it? Because obviously, having a voice-controlled character inherently kind of makes it more personal, but then at the same time, it puts something between you and it because the choices you're making are less robust and less refined, whereas this had a wealth of options for every single dialogue interaction. It was you could tailor your character in really specific ways, which I really enjoyed. And because there's no karma meter, I like that you could get to play around with being a dick to someone. It might be being nice to someone else, because there's no sort of mechanical incentive other than if you like this person, you can be nice to them and they might give you a quest or something like that.
They did have some like faction stuff where if you go around killing loads of faction members like the Iconoclasts or any of the other people, then you would actually start being like vilified with them. Kind of like how New Vegas did with the town system. Like you go to certain areas and be like, oh, you're not allowed to go here. We don't like you.
Yeah.
That's fine. But on the day to day, it wouldn't stop you from stealing stuff. If you needed stuff and you're a scavenger, just take it sort of thing. Well, it wasn't like a karma thing for
this was
that.
It. I wanted to test this out. I'm not going to lie. I was purposefully trying to break the game in a lot of ways. Snuck into, I can't remember what the place was, but it's where the Iconoclasts
Arcadia?
Were.
Is
yeah,
that?
I, it was like something
Arcade Heights? Arcadia Heights, I think
it was. Right.
Yeah.
So I snuck into there, well not snuck into there, I walked into there and I was having a mosey around, was looking in the doctor's office and I saw three patients sleeping. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to be a bit of a bastard. So I went into all sneaking mode, pulled out my lovely, whatever that blade was, it was delicious.
And the had like officer's spine.
Was that it? Called, it had a great green tint to it. I thought, I'm going to murder all these guys in cold blood and see what happens. So I sliced all their throats up, left them dead, felt bad about myself, but didn't get that karma pop or anything like that.
Yeah.
I thought, that is so cool, I could just do that. And that's a little story, a little bit of devilish thing that I've just done, evilness.
You're only held to your own accounts of morality, which is
exactly,
quite nice.
Exactly, yeah.
And what is quite good as well is that a huge factor of this game is that you have two companions, or at least we did when we played, and they represented two very different sides of the coin. One was a mercenary, a gun for hire, that lived in a place called... I can't remember what the place was called, annoyingly, but it was like a sort of bigger city where there's a lot of problems going on. And the other one that you meet earlier on in the game, which is kind of like a mechanic person, much more tech heavy. Yeah. So you had the two different sides. One was basically very much like cutthroat, do anything for cash. The other one was a bit like, we should be nice. And that meant that when you were making choices and doing stuff, you could hear them sort of like saying, oh, should we have done that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know about that
I
one.
Thought the companions were really good, even though we only got a glimpse of them. We only got two, like you say. Mm. I thought the way that they engage with you in combat and again in the story were both amazing. I thought I've stumbled across one character out in the wild who actually had a connection with one of the one of the people in my party, and I just thought that was such a surprising emergent moment. I'm not sure if that has a wider context in the game itself, but in this situation I just thought, oh, that's cool, I want to find out more about that relationship and I want to bump into this person further down the line.
I did hear over here somebody say that there would be companion quests involved as well that would be similar to how it was in the other Fallout games, mm-hmm. where you would build up a sort of reputation with them and then they'd ask you to do like a specific personal quest.
I actually got that, didn't get a chance to finish it, but the first thing I did when I got control was turn around and talk to the companions, and then she gave me the quest about trying to find the graves of her like fallen comrades and stuff, and I thought that would be cool. I sadly didn't get to finish it. I didn't get to finish any quest, and this might be a testament to how good the game is that I just wanted to explore, but I was given the chance. I went to a few of the major cities, but for the most part I just wanted to see what fun I could get myself into, and that sustained the entire session for me.
And I think that the fun is definitely something that they've really approached the Outer Worlds with, because the way that the game is written is very like satirical and witty, and there's like, I was talking to one of the writers after the event had ended, and she was telling me that it's very difficult to write comedy because it is subjective. Obviously, what you find funny, I might not find funny, and vice versa. So it's a huge ordeal sitting down and thinking, okay, how can we make this irreverent? How can we make people really enjoy this? And what they've done is they've taken less of a zany approach as like Borderlands might have taken, but they've done a sort of satirical take on bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I found it really funny. There's a bits where like, they weren't annoyed that this marauder ship was sort of in this area or that there was some sort of like faction that was taking over. They were annoyed because they hadn't got the proper permits to be there. And I was like, that's like just so funny because they were like constantly trying to elevate their own position by whatever means. And I tell you what, I got like an Odd World vibe from it because it was like the Gluckens as in like, we'll do anything for cash sort of thing. Like, I thought that was really good.
It's one of those weird kind of balances that they've struck where something like that could have perhaps been a bit flippant and a bit throwaway and perhaps a bit surface level. But I think the characters themselves, they believe in what they're saying, which makes it so funny and so kind of like, I don't know, resonant. Like, they're not just caricatures or archetypes or vessels for one-liners or quirky, you know, personalities. They are they live in this world and they have to deal with this stuff. And
they feel real within the sense of their own world, yeah. Don't they? I mean, I was telling you that I experienced love and lost it.
You did.
This was good. I basically walked into this office. There's two people talking and it's the secretary of this guy who's asking me to go on a quest. And afterwards, she'd mentioned something about how she was like a bit low on cash. So I talked to her. She was just like, I'm a bit low on cash because I've been buying this money. And I was like looking at her and I was just like, oh, she's got that like Natalie Dormer little quirky smile sort of thing, like a little smirk. And
you're not even overselling this because you leant over to me, tapped me, and was.
I was like, I'm in love.
I'm in love, Josh.
I didn't know what it was. I just thought, like, oh, she's just a charming character. And then she broke my heart by telling me that she was actually interested in the purveyor of toxin sacks down the road. And I was like, oh, so I had to set them up on a date. Oh. But then again, another little quest that only came about through me going, that little set, like an interesting character, I'm going to talk to them. And then I realized that nearly. There are a few people that don't have any dialogue, but there are a lot of people with a ton of small quests going on.
That's it. I mean, it was so emergent as well. It didn't feel like, maybe it's a condensed part of the game, but it didn't feel like I had a bunch of stuff to do, a bunch of checklists to tick off, and was just mindlessly doing them. It was that case of, I'm going to check out this area, and then a quest pops up. It's really emergent. You're walking through a town, and a guy runs out of his apartment, and he's saying,
There's a body in there.
You need to see the blood. And obviously, you do need to see the blood, so you go and investigate. I love how alive the world feels. And this is, we only got a taste of one of the many worlds in the game. And the fact that this single one was so dense and packed with content, and fun content as well, is getting me excited for how that's going to be spread across the board.
But obviously, it's not just the sort of characters and the quest they give, but the action as well. Like, I chose to do a few missions where I went in only as a conversationary thing, just trying to either antagonize or defuse stuff using my skills and speech checks. And then there were other times where it was just, you know, get down and dirty, literally, because in my final mission that I had with the game, I had to sneak through a sewer pipe through a pig pen and go and assassinate this guy, Clive. Didn't have to assassinate him, but he definitely ended up dead. But the action I found was really engaging because of the fact they've got this pseudo-VAT system where it doesn't slow time down in sense of like showing you all of their weaknesses and allowing you to pick off targets. It slows time down in general and you can move quickly to reposition yourself. And if you double tap A or the dodge button and a direction, you'll literally strafe around and you can use that to just like evade enemy attacks.
I really like that little dodge button they've got in there. Like that, you double tap A and you get to move around a bit faster. At first, I thought it was a double jump, then realized how to actually utilize. And I thought the combat, especially, was something that took me by surprise because although the trailers have looked pretty good, some of the animations, in my opinion, looked a touch janky. And I wondered whether this was going to be a case of the story in the world and the exploration would be the most important thing, and combat, while okay, would be secondary. I don't think that's the case here. It feels really punchy. The guns feel very varied. Melee combat works, range combat works, up close and personal shotgun blasts are really satisfying.
Yeah, you love doing that, didn't you?
Even though it happens in every other game, in every other Fallout game as well, I walked up to some guy with a kind of a semi-automatic rifle,
right,
shot him point blank, and his arms came off, and his legs came off, and his head exploded, he was just a torso. And for some reason, the visceral thrill of it, even though we've seen it so many times before, was nailed here. Everything from the pull of the trigger to the sound, the soundscape is surprisingly really good as well. He's saying surprisingly, like, we didn't expect this, but it's just, it's everything we expected is there, but it's kind of just a step up, in my opinion.
Maybe it's the case of we just expected it to, we were sold on the idea of it being, you know, Fallout New Vegas in space, and maybe it's because our brains haven't gone beyond that point, because that game was released what, like 10 years ago or whatever it was. Maybe we just thought, okay, it's just gonna be the same thing with the new skin. And yeah, there are some like animation jank, and there is a bit of that, like it's a good looking game. I wouldn't say that it's the most beautiful looking game, but when you consider the amount of content that's in it, it's far superior to in my eyes, Fallout 4. It's better looking than the latest Skyrim, that's for damn sure. So if graphics aren't that huge a deal to you, then I really don't think that they're gonna hold you back in the slightest.
Even then, for me, I was looking around the skyboxes.
There are some beautiful moments.
This looks lovely, and I think it, although it might not have, you know, it might not be like the best looking game ever, I think the way it uses its art style and the way it draws on its aesthetics is better than most games, I think. It's a nice blend between the style of the retro Fallouts and, for me, Bioshock Infinite. I like that it's got this unique kind of look to it that feels throwback and yet isn't necessarily just copying other games.
There's loads and loads of things where they examples where it's kind of like, reminds me of the Bioshock plasmid styles thing, that the Art Nouveau art style thing, and having this thing of like, everyone's going to repeat their slogans, but they're not really understanding what they're saying or the context. Like, everyone's been brainwashed by the slogans and the party line of the companies they work
for. And I love that you can find that in the environmental storytelling. Mm. I love that they've essentially just got the terminals from Fallout back. Digging around in those, and the diary entries that you can find in there was so funny and so kind of had that black humour. I think the best Fallout vault set. It was a kind of a catch 22 because I realised how limited time we had in this world.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read every single thing I came across, so I had to actively pull myself away from it and be like, no, engage with the missions, engage with the story.
I love that one of the characters that I met was constantly saying about how his entire plan to become the hero of his city was to blackmail the board, who are like a people who look after the planet that you're on, by basically just saying like they're going to blackmail their way back into a position on their table. And it's kind of like, the world is falling apart, like their city is collapsing, and their plan isn't to try and resurrect it in some other way, it's to use bureaucracy in order to stay relevant.
Yeah, I love the smarminess of that. It's so good. I think as a whole it's very old school, but in a kind of great way. It feels like like an RPG from 2011 or something like that, but it is still robust and it has a few new features. It's very refined. I think it brings a few interesting things to the table when it comes to combat. I like the companion special abilities.
Yes, being able to call on them. But there's a cooldown thing, but you can press left or right in our case. I don't know if there were more that you could unlock, but the ones that we had was a big hammer smash that did like electrical damage, and another one where our other companion fired the entire clip of a minigun into whatever foe you were looking at.
For me, there is an overwhelming amount of systems and customization options as well when it comes to your weapons and how you can craft them, and I was just picking stuff up, not exactly knowing what it was and just hoping it would come into play later on.
I tried every weapon I picked up at least once to see what the sort of things were, and like we got to try out flamethrowers, swords, knives. I had a baseball bat that had three motorized drill heads on the front that I just jumped in the air and slowed down time just as I bashed people in the head with.
Listen, that was satisfying. I saw you smash that dude's head in, but at the same time, did you get that nice top hat from the skeleton?
No.
Because my guy looked spiffing from that lovely hat I got from that skeleton, RIP.
So, yeah, you can customize pretty much everything, and fashion souls is definitely is going to come into play here. I mean, we got to play as a character that was pre-created and had tons of great stats, but it was clear from the off. Again, I can't really speak too much about the opening section, but you definitely can customize this your character in any possible way you want, and it will have strengths, weaknesses, little like pros and cons, and it'll give bonuses to other things as well. It's if you know your Fallout games, if you know your Skyrim games and how they build their characters, it's like this with a few more extra tools.
That's it. It's like you can actually have character builds now. You're not just a sort of jack of all trades who gets perks to kind of help them out. You have to, like we used to, put stats into specific kind of sub tiers of unarmed combat, and then in that area, like really dive into that. And then you've got the perk system, which is more than just plus 10 damage. I mean, there's obviously some of that, but there are some like major ones that substantially change the gameplay, at least from what we saw.
I had one which was when I unlocked a skill point, I put it into I could move 25% quicker when I had the time dilation going on, which was excellent for like my assassin smasher build, because I would then slow down and be able to move quicker than the people that were trying to run away from me, which meant that I'd be able to like bat them straight off into like Kingdom Come. Honestly, it was a great experience, and it's a game that I'm fully, fully looking forward to. I don't think that I'd have many bad things to say about it. Maybe a few animations can be tightened up here and there. There was a lighting bug, but they did say that it was still beta or beta footage, so that it was something they were going to fix.
It ran better than I expected it to. I mean, considering how hard it is to get these RPGs working, even when Obsidian made New Vegas, that was notoriously buggy. I think, considering the build that we had, again, it's only one planet, but there was an issue with screen tearing, but again, that's like to be expected.
It was
expected.
Only a few
still
sort of things.
Exactly.
Right. I don't want to sound like we're just sort of glazing over those problems, because if they do exist in the final product, that could be a big issue. But in terms of the small sort of like section that we played, it's kind of understandable when they still got a few months left to polish out all the bugs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out until October.
So there's a few months to get everything up ship shape. But also, speaking of ships, you will be able to like do customizing on your ships. You'll be able to use that to travel to different planets. And to be honest, there's going to be probably more content than I have hours in the a day to
I was thinking that playing it, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, kind of a successor to Fallout, using all those same systems, and I was playing it, and I just thought, I haven't sunk many hours into a game like this in a long time, and this is going to devour, if it sustains this quality, it's going to devour the rest of the year for me.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, it's coming out in October, so we'll keep you updated with a review and any other news that comes out as well. But yeah, our first impressions probably couldn't be more positive for this game. So yeah, The Outer Worlds, you've done your good job there. And thank you so much for arranging for us to go and see this, Stefano and Aaron. Thank you very much, guys, for that. And anyway, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at RetroJoey with a zero for myself and
Josh Broom with two R's over on Twitter.com.
Over on Twitter.com.
I love that. Twitter.com.
And if you want to tune in for more gaming, comics, film, and wrestling, then go to WhatCulture.com. And if you don't want to do that, then I guess we'll see you later.
Got nothing for you. Bye-bye.
Just got nothing for you. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.